Good afternoon and welcome to Enhancing Systemness Through an Enterprise Imaging Approach, a Health System CIO Media Inc. production sponsored by HealthLink Advisors. Just a little housekeeping before we get started. My name is Anthony Guerra. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Health System CIO, and I'll be your moderator today. We're looking forward to your questions or comments. You could send those in at any time, and we'll take them later in the program. Just so you see how we're going to spend our time today, first we're going to go about 35, 40 minutes with our main panel, featuring Chuck Christian, VP of Technology with Franciscan Health, Jeff Fallon, VP of Epic and Clinical Applications with Maine Health, and Chris Jenkins, SVP of Advisory Services with HealthLink Advisors. So with that, we're going to jump right in. Very important topic today. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. Chuck, let's start with you. Can you give us an overview of your organization and your role?
Sure. I'd be happy to. Today, I'm the Vice President of Technology and CTO. After this, maybe I'm still the Vice President and CTO. So at Franciscan Health, we're a 12-hospital system, mostly in the Midwest, that go up from runs up 65 all the way to Chicago. We have about 400 other locations, physician practices, imaging centers, lab draw stations, ambulatory surgical centers, you name it, we have it from a healthcare standpoint. We are a capital C Catholic health systems that has been in business for about 150 years. The sisters pray for us every day, and which I very much appreciate. If it's broken, it's probably my fault. I have responsibility for the entire enterprise from an infrastructure standpoint and the cloud, telephony, network, all the data centers, data closets, and everything else. And my team for on the infrastructure side is about 160 people. So that's why I have no hair.
So. Yes, Chuck, I apologize for your CTO falling off there. I demoted.
No, that's fine. It's perfectly fine.
You forgive me?
I answer just about anything. Yes, I forgive you, of course. Okay.
Very good. Jeff.
I'm Jeff Fallon from Maine Health. Maine Health is a 10-hospital organization in the Northeast. We're in Maine and New Hampshire. Our system has from critical access hospitals to academic medical centers, so kind of range through them. And then on the imaging side, we also have, we are the hub of an imaging collaborative with a few other or non-affiliated organizations. I'm the VP on the application side, so my team supports our any application we have, our EHR, our ERP, our ancillaries. It's been a, you know, I think between Chuck and I, when things are broken, you know, one of the two of us has it, right?
Amen.
All right, Jeff, very good. Chris?
Hey, good. Thanks. Hey, Chris Jenkins, I'm the Senior Vice President, and I lead advisory services for HealthLink Advisors. By background, though, most of my career has been on the provider side, similar to Chuck and Jeff. So I really appreciate all the work you all do and the challenges you face with today and tomorrow. So HealthLink Advisors, we're an independent HIT advisory firm, and we basically do everything from strategy all the way through execution. And we do this with clinical systems, business systems, and IT, you know, through strategy and operations. And specific to enterprise imaging, that's one of our primary service lines. So we conduct assessments, perform system selections, and we also do program and risk management oversight of implementations.
Excellent, Chris. Very good. All right, Chuck, we're going to start with you. There's a lot here. We'll jump right in. How would you describe the state of intra-health system image sharing today? Can you offer some scenarios that illustrate where the challenges occur and why? What's the impact on patient satisfaction and clinical care of doing this poorly? What's the impact on providers? And how often do you think procedures need to be rescheduled because an image isn't available? So wherever you want to jump in there, Chuck.
Well, yeah, one thing I forgot to mention is I have a radiology background. I spent the first 14 years in my my career doing that. So, and did I lose you? Are you still there?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yep. Well, I've lost you. My monitor's gone totally black. So
I can
that's
hear
okay.
You. You're coming through. Well, great.
Good. And so the one thing that when I joined Franciscan, we had just acquired a new PACS solution. And I had the pleasure of assisting in getting that moving and getting it implemented and throughout the entire enterprise. And so we have one imaging solution throughout the enterprise, which is very helpful. We had two different versions of a previous vendor. I'm not going to call their name because they're not really in business anymore, but they were very old. We had a lot of discussions with our medical staff, particularly orthopedic surgeons and our radiologists, who we have two groups that read our studies that are not employed by Franciscan. We contract that out, and we implemented PACS overlays to send those images to their PACS systems, which has been very, very convenient and good. But I think that from an enterprise internal sharing application, I think it's imperative that, particularly if you're going to have hospitals that are co-located, we have a couple of different regions that have multiple hospitals that serve critical access and larger facilities, that they may be referred to other specialties within our organization down to Indianapolis or wherever. And it just makes it so much easier. My granddaughter recently had some, I had a concussion. And so she got worked up at another health system, and I could read her studies because I have access to her medical record. They're on Epic as well, but I can't see her images. And I was showing my wife on our instance of that is I had shoulder surgery not too long ago. I could actually pull up my images on my iPhone and review those. And so I think it's very important from a patient care standpoint to allow those physicians to share information and be able to pull those imaging studies up, particularly if they're having want to do a trauma consult or something like that. And so I don't really have a clue as far as how often things may have to be rescheduled. But if it's done appropriately and everybody knows how to use the studies, we had a problem with our imager that's inside of Epic when I first arrived, and it wound up not being the PAC solution or Epic, either one. It was a piece of security widget that was put on the servers that caused the images to fail. So now it works. My phone no longer rings. And so I really do appreciate that fact, because it was broken. And when people found out that I had a radiology background, they think I have all the magic solutions to make all this technology work. And so it was good that we were able to find it working with the vendor, but we had to get to a developer to fix that. So I'm not sure, Anthony, if I actually answered your question or not, to tell you the
well,
truth.
So you have a pretty streamlined environment. You said when you came in, you were going from two older PACSes to one.
Yep.
Would you imagine that in general, in other health systems, there's a much greater diversity of PACS, and therefore you're going to have greater issues? Sounds like you've got a pretty streamlined environment.
Well, I mean, I've talked to quite a few people that are moving from when organizations grow organically, we did, and that's when we had a couple of different versions of the same system, and we put in VNA, the vendor neutral archive, several years ago to be able to pull priors from and those type of things, which makes it a little bit easier. But if you're having to use something else to share, it could be very difficult as you start bringing on other organizations. Particularly if you have imaging centers that you're trying to, regionalize as well.
Very good. Jeff, your thoughts?
So I think we're in an interesting model in that we're both, receiving a lot of specialty referrals from non-affiliated health centers and then sending some out to other, to other care centers, particularly down in the Boston area. So we have a lot of images coming in and out from other sources. It is challenging. There are both administrative and technical hurdles to getting those images from outside of your organization. I think we've kind of identified a single vendor that we work with in order to do that. Internally, though, we set up a hub model where we share our PAC system with a few of our non a few organizations that aren't a part of our health system. So some provider organizations and another hospital system. And we actually have a shared PACS with them, which is great for us because then, you know, image acquisition at those places, we can access them immediately from our care locations. I think when it comes to canceled procedures, when media isn't available, it's, you know, for us, I think it's more of the cost of reacquiring, right? So if someone is referred to us from another facility and shows up with, and we can't get a hold of those images in a trauma case, then you're reacquiring those images, which is, you know, slowing down care and then, you know, giving a valuable resource, you're repeating a valuable resource. So more than cancellations, I think we're seeing that it's really not efficient care and it's not timely care. And, you know, that's a real issue for us. You know, there's only so much imaging equipment to go around and so much time for our, you know, care team to coordinate and perform those exams. So it's a really valuable resource and you don't want to waste it.
Very good. Chris, I just had a thought. You tell me if it makes sense that if you talk to 10 health systems, you will see a different imaging environment in every one of them, different levels of product diversity, different setups, you know, how they've grown, outside entities that are sharing images. It's probably everyone is so unique. Is that accurate? And your general thoughts on what you've heard so far?
Yeah, it's fairly accurate. I think what Chuck and Jeff both, you know, spoke about is very accurate. I think, you know, many of the organizations that we work with or we talk to, they have multiple PACS environments, some of which are end of life and some of which aren't even managed very well. So just image sharing within the health system can be challenging at times. But, you know, image sharing outside of the health system from a consumer standpoint, you know, being able to capture that image from an outpatient imaging center that isn't part of a system, how do you get the images from point A to point B? And that can be a challenge. You know, in many cases, it's a CD that they have to get and then they have to transfer it or bring it in. And then there's a whole consumption of that CD to be able to make it available. So delays are there. But yeah, there's definitely a big difference. What we also see is, you know, variation of workflows, variation in the process from the outpatient imaging facility all the way through into the health system or wherever they're going to have those images read and the diagnosis completed.
All right. When I was in Southern Indiana, we were not a trauma center, and so we had to ship patients out. And the thing that used to bother me so much is that we were having to either print x-rays or throw a CD on the patient's chest as they were headed out the door, either by ambulance or by helicopter. And, you know, having talked with some of the trauma surgeons and stuff, it became very apparent, particularly when people were, you know, they had their pelvis broken or stuff, you know, pelvises never break in two, they break in at least three places, and it requires some planning in order to put those back together again. And so you're delaying the surgical intervention and the treatment of these patients because if they're waiting to get the CD with the patient or images with the patient, they can't do planning. And so we were working on and did come up with an image sharing platform. Of course, and I remember this was 20 years ago, and allowing those surgeons to get the images while the patient was en route. And on many occasions, the patients, because they have a specific planning software they use to figure out the geometry, the type of implants they're going to be using, what screws, what plates, and those type of things. And they can have all that planned out when the patient arrives. And so they can, you know, start treating the patient and do surgical intervention if that's required when they get there. So it saves sometimes hours in order to get those patients in there. So the thing about it is that I'm still shocked at is in, you know, I've been in radiology since the early 70s, and, you know, how we share images, it's gone from film to CDs, and I'm still shocked at the amount of CDs in our days and times that we have to cut in order to send out to the patients. And I know of several patients that because they showed up at a referral appointment, they had to reschedule that appointment because their images weren't, they didn't have the images or they didn't arrive or whatever. And then we've had several requests to allow people just to shove images into our PAC solution. That's not something that we're not going to allow that to do. Now, we'll bring them in if through a cloud sharing environment, but just having somebody just shove images into our packs, we have enough to store on our own. We do about 1 million studies a year. I don't need any more to store right now, to tell you the truth, and I only want to store the ones that we're going to treat. So.
Yeah, we also had our own homegrown image transfer registry, and there were a lot of issues with that, particularly like when you start getting cases in from places that you hadn't worked with before, and they didn't have that registry set up, that CD had to come. I do think that the cloud sharing models have made it a little easier for us. Yep. I mean, we're sharing 125,000 studies a year through our cloud sharing platform. That's kind of in and out. You know, that involves a lot of time from our HIM department to get those, look at them and get them into our systems. We're the same boat. We don't want to just, you know, take studies into our VNA, because then they're going to be messy and they're going to require cleanup later. But I do think that cloud platforms are making it easier, though they're not quite as ubiquitous as it'd like them to be. And, you know, you are trying to, you know, we only use one cloud platform. So if someone wants to send us images, they really have to use that same one as us.
Well, and the other thing too, Anthony, that it really, the issue of patient identification becomes, you know, even more interesting because of, you know, if you don't want the studies to drop into your packs and be associated with the wrong patient. And so, as Jeff mentioned, you know, someone has to go match those up to make sure they're attached to the right medical record.
Very good, Chris. Anything you want to weigh in on?
Yeah, no, Chuck, that's a great point. And Jeff, I was the same thing. I think, yeah, the patient matching algorithm is going to be critically important for those cloud platforms. Yep. They definitely help you cut out on the CDs, but you're right. The provider has to have that solution, as well as the facility that's actually doing the study. So that's one big key to that. So yeah, I think staying in front of that and understanding what's out there. Some of these cloud platforms also are looking to be more than just an image sharing platform. They're looking to be a chart, a patient chart, more portable, like a MyChart. So you just have to take that into account when you're looking at the solutions to, you know, the problem you're trying to solve.
Chris, how prevalent do you think the CDs are out there, and can a CD always be viewed? Is that sort of a cure-all, or do you get a situation sometimes where a patient will show up with a CD and they say, we can't read this, we don't know what to do with this, we can't help you with this?
Yeah, they're more prevalent than you would imagine, Anthony. Probably at least 60% of the organizations that we've been working with, they still use CDs. And there's a whole process you go through. The patient brings it in. It's got to go to a department that then adjusts it and matches. And as Jeff mentioned, you have to get into the system. That leads to delays. But there are often times where it is not readable. So whoever is generating the CD, you know, from the initial test, it's the format isn't accurate. I mean, there's formats, but it basically just isn't readable. And that causes additional delays. Now, I don't know what percentage that is, but that does happen.
Well, so Anthony, how many PCs have you bought lately that have CD players on them?
Yeah.
zero, right?
None. And so that, the problem with the CDs has always been that the manufacturer of that burner, is what they call it, is that it also includes a viewer. Mm-hmm. And the viewers are never, what I would call diagnostic quality. They've gotten better over the years, but and the problem is, if you're the orthopedic surgeon or, you know, gastroenterologist, whoever's looking at those, the interfaces on all these viewers are different. And so if he sees 20 patients that are bringing 20 different FIMS, odds are he's going to see 10 or 12 different interfaces that they're going to have to learn how to navigate. That's going to delay even further, because there's no standardization on the tool sets that come with those viewers that are built into when you burn those CDs.
And not to mention, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a CD player in my home anymore. So if
I don't either
look at my own images, I'm out of luck at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're really not big these days, Chuck, on thumb drives for security reasons. So I would imagine there's some security issues around shoving a CD into it.
Thumb drives aren't big enough unless you're, have a very expensive. CDs are pretty cheap to cut. Mm-hmm. Thumb drives are far more expensive. But the bad part about it is that people also have learned how to put viruses on these things, because when you throw in a thumb drive, the first thing it is, there's an auto run feature, unless you've got it disabled. And same thing for CDs, it auto runs and it'll just auto load whatever bad stuff is on it on your computer.
So Jeff and Chris, this is another reason we may not love CDs as the end all be all. There's some security issues there.
There are. Yeah, that would be another reason. It, you know, security reasons, you also lose them as well, right? So
right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. You're putting it on the patient.
You are putting it on the patient. The onus is pretty much on the patient. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Next question. Jeff, let's start with you. When it comes to improving the state of image sharing within health systems, let's talk about the solutions, or at least the direction we want to move in. So again, we're suggesting to people, hey, you're having trouble, you're having all those kind of issues, here's the general direction you want to move in. And I wonder if it's sensible to talk about, and I think Chuck may have alluded to this, sort of the two different angles. There's the technology angle, which would be the multiple packs and different file formats, and then there's the non-technology angle, governance, who's reporting to whom, different workflows and things like that. So, Jeff, your thoughts on moving in the right direction, if you were giving advice to people, and again, a million different setups out there, where do we want to move towards?
I can speak from our perspective. Where we're trying to move towards is to have less vendors of it, less core vendors to work with, right? So, you know, internally, a lot of us, the days of the mini packs is over, where you had a different packs for radiology, cardiology, endoscopy or the other oscopies, dental. So what we're trying to do is move to a more streamlined platform with less vendors to be your core packs platform, and then have a good VNA that can be flexible and can accept those images from those, you know, non-core platform solutions. You know, that's really the ideal state for us, is fewer vendors, more flexible VNA, really be able to share, to receive as many of those studies as you can, then serve them back to our population through Epic, which is really their primary, you know, your EHRs for non, you know, image intensive specialists is a good way for them to be able to view them. So I think those are really our core technology tenets. And then in terms of governance and workflows, I mean, the more systems you have, the more you need to make sure that you're capturing an order and associating an order and a patient to every study. That's really, you know, how it works best, is if you can tie that kind of three things together, is tie the patient to the order to the study. It just makes it cleaner to be able to really get to the source of why you have that study, what source you were trying to discover or know more about when you took the image, and make sure that you have the right patient. So it really takes a lot of work with different vendors and your HIM department to make sure you're doing a good job of managing your patients across those platforms.
And Jeff, would you say that this is slow going because of the size, the cost, the investment in these packs, that's why it's not a quick, okay, let's just do this. Let's just reduce our footprint, go down to a few vendors, right? Is that why it's slow going?
I would say there's a few factors that make it slower. One is cost. These are not inexpensive in the application level, the storage, the acquisition costs, those are all pretty high compared to some other pieces of applications that we own. It's also a lot of different clinical areas and people. Just think of your two biggest users of your PACS platform or your imaging platform are going to be cardiology and radiology, and they use it fairly different. And in many health systems may be under completely separate clinical leadership. For us, The majority of our radiologists are not employed by the health system, right? They're from multiple different independent radiology groups that we form partnerships with. So, you know, you're pulling multiple different clinical specialties together. You're pulling multiple different stakeholders from internal employees versus external employees. And I don't think, you know, after doing a somewhat recent industry scan, it is hard to find one vendor that's going to really satisfy all those different areas. So the cardiologist and radiologist may have very different opinions on what the best vendor in the market is. You know, and then, you know, orthopedics and neuro may, and mammography may all feel different and may have a different vendor that's their preference. It's not as clear cut as some of the industries like EHR, where there's one clear cut leader on both inpatient and ambulatory. I mean, I think we're still evolving that way, and there isn't one clear cut clinical system that's the best for all the specialties. So you're, you know, as a technologist, we're kind of also brokering kind of a governance and a clinical decision to say what is the best for the most amount of people for this organization.
Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think it's building a case for change, and it's the influence that needs to take place within the organization with all the right leaders to determine why you want to go change. Because as Jeff mentioned, many organizations will have multiple solutions, imaging solutions. One, you can reduce your overall footprint, but can you enhance the provider experience? Can you impact the patient experience? Can you increase clinical quality and operational efficiencies if you move to one system? Or it may be one plus system, right? And I think that's a part of it. That's where governance comes in. You know, in many cases when we do selections, it's a lot of it's really about change management, organizational behavior of why would you want to go do that? And also showing that you do have multiple systems. Those multiple systems lead to variation in workflow, variation in the way you deliver care. And, you know, in the IT side of things, very thin support structure that are supporting multiple environments. So if you can streamline all that, you can provide better support and, you know, have better outcomes. But it's leading down that path. And I think going back to what Chuck mentioned earlier, you know, some of these solutions, they're moving at a rapid pace. The other piece of this for governance is the whole concept of AI with imaging. It is becoming at a rapid pace. So, you know, what are those, your imaging vendors, what do they have natively within their PACS environment or imaging environments versus what third parties are they leveraging? And what values that really bring and how you meter that. So the governance around all that, from the selection of a new replace solution, how are you going to manage that? How are you going to, you know, enhance workflows? And then how are you going to leverage some of this really decent AI technologies now and in the future to also provide better care? So I think those are some of the pieces that are going to be very important for organizations.
Well, one thing too, Anthony, you need to keep in mind that, you know, I think radiology or imaging, if you will, is very indicative of a hospital or healthcare, is because it's not just diagnostic, you know, just x-rays. It's, you know, you have nuclear medicine, you have ultrasound, you have some of the specialty stuff, you have cath labs. And you look at the other imaging, which could be in the OR with some of the operative imaging they do for orthopedics or for in the endoscopy suites related to that. More and more imaging is out there. It needs to be stored. It needs to be maintained. But unfortunately, radiology and imaging over time, it's not like we had one big monolithic system that just kind of dropped in the middle of everything. It's grown over time. I remember when PACS was basically diagnostic. Then we added cardiology. Then we added nuclear medicine. Then we added all the other ologies that go on top of it. And so the good news is that the people that were thinking about this had the good sense to come up with DICOM, which is a standard imaging format that can be stored and viewed, that has a great deal of information about the study in the header. I remember when I was running one of the first CT scanners down in Alabama, is that we were using a Hasselblad camera to take pictures of the CRT. That's what the radiologist read off of. And if there's something that you really need to look at, they had to come into my management console to take a look at it, versus today, you can look at it anywhere, and which is a really good thing. And so it's a complex solution. And the other thing I'd say is the vendors haven't done us any favors, because they always have solutions. They're looking for problems to solve, and they will do exactly like they always done. They'll go back and they'll talk to the physicians or talk to the other people. And then we in the technology and on the operation side are the ones that are wound up trying to defend a different approach to standardize on how we're going about this against a feature set that may be very rich for one group of physicians and one group of diagnosticians. It's not so great for others. And if you've ever gone through a selection process with an oncology between the hematologist and the radiation oncologist, it's an arm wrestling match about the feature set that they need, because there's not really a good Venn diagram that you can put together where those feature sets hit both of those specialty groups.
Yeah. And Chuck, let me add one thing. We talked about DICOM. The other, you know, what we're seeing a lot of now is non-DICOM, right?
Yeah.
So how do you actually build the full picture, right? The DICOM and non-DICOM, like dermatology, some of the, you know, taking pictures of a wound or of something on the skin and then putting on a file server. So how can you actually manage those images as well as part of your overall enterprise imaging strategy?
Well, and Jeff mentioned that some of the vendors, you know, particularly the DNA vendors out there, said we can store anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, we can be this, you know, record transport. Okay. But you know, that my question is, if you've done a good job with your EHR vendor, why do I need you? And they, you know, they have very select specific use cases, particularly around the ones I've recently had pitched is around ED and ED transports, particularly to trauma centers and that kind of stuff. If you have the right relationships in place, you really don't need them. But it's trying to convince the trauma surgeons and the other groups that they don't. Because we already have a solution in place, there's no reason to buy something else.
Mm-hmm. So it really is—it's that two-tier problem. It's the technology we talked about, and then it is this governance. It's getting these multiple groups that you're envisioning using the same system to agree to find that overlap in the Venn diagram. There's—I would imagine, Chuck, you spend a tremendous amount of your time trying to broker, trying to find agreement between groups that are going to have to share a system but may have different interests. That's a lot of your time.
Well, I mean, I don't spend a lot of that time today. And I think as part of it is the size of our health system. Is a lot of those conversations happen more at a facility level, and then it gets brought up to me of trying to, and it's about process, ensuring that architecturally those solutions will fit into the organization, because you need to limit them, as you know, Jeff said, the number of cats that you're trying to herd every day, and because it's not easy. I actually had a cardiologist once saying, Chuck, it's a computer, you can make it do anything you want to, and my response was, I sure can with enough time and money, and mm-hmm. neither of which are in abundancy. They're always in short supply. It needs to be applied quickly, and standardization helps us shorten those implementation timeframes.
I also think your enterprise imaging governance is going to be inherently more complex than a lot of other areas of governance, right? So, you know, our lab information system, it's easier to understand who needs to be involved in that governance, who needs to be there to make decisions. Enterprise imaging is tough. There's a lot of different people that need to have a say in the direction and the movement of that platform. It's just a more complicated governance structure to stand up, and more important that you get it right.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff, you mentioned something also that, and we haven't really hit on that, but your EHR. So if you, with your imaging, your PACS environment, you can do a RIS-driven workflow or a PACS-driven workflow. You know, you have, if you're Epic, you have Cupid, you have Radiant. So that, as you mentioned, the complexity of that governance around those pieces as well has to weigh in and making decisions of how you're going to leverage the integration between the two solutions.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. It's a good segue into the next question. The key leaders, I mean, some of them are going to be obvious when you're dealing with enterprise imaging. You talked about the complexity of the governance, how it's more complex than other areas. But can you run through any thoughts there, Jeff? We'll start with you on who's going to be included in the conversation. Maybe anyone that people might not initially think of that you say, no, they're gonna have to be in the discussion.
I would say one area that we're looking at now is we need to involve digital pathology or pathologists in the conversation because you have the future of digital pathology. I think for us, it's trying to get a balance between our own imaging departments, like your own cardiology and radiology departments, and balance that with the independent reading groups. Ultimately, we're a partnership to get our patients cared for. So it is one of our governance groups that we're bringing on independent providers and putting them on governance, which isn't always the normal model for a system level governance. So for us, it's a balance of finding internal plus our reading groups and then really all the different leaders of departments in like radiology and cardiology.
Chuck?
Well, it's all about relationships and trust and partnerships. The thing about it is, for me, is a lot of these things have technical underpinnings, but it's the operational. Any solution you're going to put in place, I've always said if it comes across as IT led, it's about 50% destined to fail, you really need to get the operational folks to either bring them to the table or bring you to the table to have those conversations. And it's kind of like we don't want to be the department of no, but everybody needs to understand that we have limited resources from a capital standpoint, from human and also time in order to get things implemented and put in place. And what's good for one area may not be good for another. Just like Jeff said, is that take lab, it's pretty well controlled, and I'd really hate to use that word, but from an operational standpoint, the lab is pretty self-contained because of the very large instrument stuff. Radiology, in the advent of how many imaging centers do we have around the city of Indianapolis? I can't count them, to tell you the truth. Some of them are owned by the healthcare organizations, but a lot of them are owned by independent radiology groups. They're all controlled by the FDA, but it's had a standardization, and more than likely we're going to have patients coming in to see our physicians and our specialists where those imaging studies are done elsewhere. And how do we get those images in? So it's really a very difficult, it's almost like a symphony of making sure that the different sections they're playing the different instruments. At the end, what you have is a sound or a process that works for everybody.
Well, that was very poetic. Does anybody have anything comparable? Any analogies that would be comparable? Chris, Jeff, symphonies.
Oh, I can't beat that.
No, that's good. That's good.
Chuck gets a star on that one.
No, definitely.
I'm the king of metaphor, evidently. So
you are the man. All right. We have a couple of audience questions I want to bring up. First question is, for patients who are referred to your tertiary care facility from an outlying hospital, how do your clinicians see the imaging that was performed at the outside facility? Chuck, I think you were just talking a little bit about the challenges with that.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of different ways, and I'm still shocked at the number of CDs that we're asked to cut. And the thing about the CD burners are not inexpensive, and my department is always asked to pay for them because I own desktop support as well. But I think that, as Jeff mentioned, some of the cloud-based image sharing, because You know, most of the ones I've ever dealt with, you can give people access to them, and then you can they can actually pull those down if they want those studies included in their packs. And then the other thing is, I don't know of anybody that's making or printing film anymore, but that's still a possibility depending upon if you have a very small hospital somewhere. But I think most everybody now has gone digital. So it's, you know, the CDs and or the DVDs, the high volume stuff is typically going to be the way they're brought in or some level of cloud sharing. We actually in Indiana, we tried to stand one up at the Indiana Health Information Exchange, our HIE. But we had one of the larger health systems in town that already had such a presence with a now you can call it a cloud sharing environment that nobody thought it was a good idea.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'd say we're similar. So, you know, most of those calls come from the sending organization, not from the patient. And we'd really urge that sending organization to join our cloud sharing platform, right? And, you know, we work with one specific vendor, and that would be our primary, that'd be our request. That's the easiest way to do it because, you know, they can then contribute us the image. We can see it. We can make sure it's the right quality. We can make sure that we have enough information to attach it to the patient. And that would be our preferred method. I think anything like a CD or any other media would be a pretty distant second behind using our cloud sharing platform.
And Chris, there's no third. That's pretty much it. The cloud sharing, the CD, yeah, and then as Chuck said, nobody's doing film anymore. You can't even request it.
Yeah, you have to get it from point A to point B, and it's either through CD or some type of a sharing platform, a sharing solution. I think the important thing there just isn't one standard. There's multiple vendors out there that offer cloud sharing. You know, so as Chuck mentioned, or as Jeff mentioned, you generally have to have both ends have to have that solution. Usually the provider pays for it, but then they have to extend it to the, originator of the actual test.
Complicated. All right. Next question. What about video streaming? Isn't this an option to CDs in the sense that a patient could view their images without actually having to have them locally? Why haven't vendors implemented this more aggressively? Also, it would be a common viewer for external sources. Chris, I'm going to make you take that one.
Yeah. You know, I'll punt a little bit on the streaming component. The streaming that I see it is still that cloud sharing service. And I think there are a couple solution providers out there, one specifically that's really standing up more of a personal health record that makes the patient the owner of that image and making it portable. So they, you know, connect with this third party. They have access to all their information and they can make it portable and share it with whoever they want. I think that's probably what's being asked there in terms of streaming, but it's actually images in the cloud. Yeah.
Chuck or Jeff, anything you want to add on that?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is it's a matter of format. Is radiology images and other things. You know, the only thing I can think that would be a good format for streaming would be a cardiac cath that uses the old Cine loops and stuff. But you know, DICOM images are. Even though they're a chunk full of massive amounts of data, they don't really stream because it's not a constant flow. It's an image that can be manipulated. And the thing about it is that the common viewer, I don't disagree that would be a really great thing, but you can ask, however many vendors are out there, theirs is going to be the best one. Because it used to come, you know, you use your packs and now there's, you know, the generics are out there. Then you have the planning software, that's out there as well. And so, and I think we'll get into some of the other stuff I want to talk about in the next question. If we get to that one, Anthony.
Yep. Let's get right to it. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just had one thing, you know, I think one of the areas as far as images that we're going to see more adoption of is our ORs are now recording a lot more high def videos of surgical cases. You know, there's now, you know, more AI on actual video of surgery that can tell a provider how they're doing. These types of things are going to start to hit our vendor neutral archive soon to say, you know, capture that video of that surgery. So that those are, you know, areas that streaming is eventually going to need to be exposed to a patient. Again, though, depending on how you're capturing that video, you may need a unique viewer to view it. And I do think having kind of personal, your ability for your patient portal or a personal imaging portal is really the way to share those with patients.
Yep. Well, yes, I mean, and the other thing ahead, too, Jeff. Well, I mean, in the CARES Act that was passed by the federal government, we got this little rule called information blocking that they recast now as information sharing. We're required by federal law to provide those access to those images to our patients if they want them. We can't say no; they're too complex for you. and I will tell you that when I had my shoulder surgery done, I was presented when I went back for the checkup with images from my endoscope that was used when they fixed some stuff in my shoulder. It was kind of cool. I know what they look like, and I don't know of any pregnant mama that does not want to get a copy of those, you know, either the 2D or 4D images. I've got a new grandson coming in January, and I already know what he looks like. I have a 4D image that my daughter shared with me. And so I think that a patient population, they're going to want to see more of that stuff. I mean, when I read my granddaughter's CT of her face, she fell into a dumpster. I don't know how she did it, but she did, and got another concussion. But one of the things that they identified is she had an opacification of her right maxillary sinus. I really wanted to see the images, but she's been referred to an ENT. And when my wife fell and broke her knee, I finally got my wife's a nurse. And so it took me a day and a daughter to get her into the urgent care to be imaged. When they shot her FEMS, and the doc stuck his head in and said, I'm waiting on the x-rays. And I'm going, no, you're not. They were ready for the moment they were shot, because it's all digital. And so about 10 minutes later, my wife's phone dinged. And I looked at it, and it was, you have a new test result in my chart. So I popped up the results, and I read it to my wife. She's a nurse. And I said, yeah, lucky you broke your knee. And so the doc stuck his head in the door and says, well, I've got your results. I said, yeah, we know.
he said,
damn, they do that to me all the time. And I said, I told him, you were both in the medical field, and we know the results. So, you know, what's the course of treatment? So we referred to an orthopedic surgeon. So, I mean, I think that if we're going to engage our patients more in their process of care, having availability of those imaging studies is going to be important. And also, and I'll put in a pitch for those who are listening that know me, that I'm pretty adamant about positive patient identification, because if you're given the wrong access to the wrong studies, you can be given pathologies or missed pathologies that you really need to know about. And so it's very, very important.
Chris, Jeff, anything else you want to add on that?
No, I think
he's all right. All right, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do the Ask a Co-Panelist. Chris, do you have a question for one or both of your wonderful co-panelists?
Yeah, I think, you're different phases with your enterprise imaging environments. I guess what are some of the, what was a couple of the biggest drivers that got you all to move to an enterprise imaging solution within the organization?
Well, I'll take part of it. It's pain, if you will, because we had, like I said, two versions, older versions of the same solution that went back a while, and they hadn't been updated because they knew that we were purchasing an enterprise-wide solution, but it impacted a lot when it's not available. We actually had facilities that when the PACS was not available, they could not treat patients. They actually went on ER diversion. And I spent a lot of time on the phone with the PACS coordinators and a lot of other people trying to understand, one, why do they do that? Because we have an agreement with our radiology groups that they will come to the facilities and read out the modalities if possible. Well, unfortunately, some of our facilities were 2 hours away from the radiologist at that time of the evening, because they kind of do the follow the sun approach from a teleradiology standpoint. So and the other thing is convenience to our patients. They come in, they have a study, they need a reading either by the ER physician. But I think that, and I don't know this for sure, but it appears that the physicians in the urgent care and in the ERs are more willing to let the radiologists, because now they're available to offer those immediate readings rather than give to offer a non-radiological reading while they even, you know, they know what the anatomy is if it's gross, but if it's something that is less than gross, they from a legal standpoint, they're more willing to let people, the radiologists, read those and offer an opinion themselves.
Jeff? That's it. From our perspective, I would say a little more than 5 years ago, we went to a real enterprise imaging approach, which in the driver there was very clinical. It was about information availability, getting cardiology and radiology to see the same images, being able to adopt the other ologies and expose them to more people. Unfortunately, I think we chose a fairly complex model with a lot of different vendors, and what's happened is stability has suffered. So we're embarking now on a more really refining that idea of enterprise imaging to also streamline it. We've had a lot of challenges with stability in the past 3 years. We started with a clinical driver in terms of image availability and sharing, and it has shifted into a real clinical driver for supportability and sustainability, because we've had a lot of instances of really keeping this. We've had challenges keeping the system up and functioning and receiving studies. So it's been a bit of a growth for us to recognize one vision and realize that vision had some gaps, and we need to shift our vision and move towards stability.
Well, I think it goes back to understanding and having a clear vision of what problem you're trying to solve, not what solution do you need to go hunt a problem to fix. And so that's where operational partnership comes in with the technology. You know, what is it that we're trying to accomplish, and being clear about that? Where a lot of our investments that we're doing require business cases, and people hate to write them. I do too. But is if you're going to say we're going to put this solution and it's going to save X number of millions of dollars, you need to put your business case where your mouth is and illustrate that you can actually deliver on that. And now our organization is holding people accountable for those pronunciations out there. And, you know, they're starting to remove, if you say you're going to save X number of dollars this next year with this solution, they take it out of their budget. And hold them accountable for it.
All right, listen, we've got time for sort of a last thought, and I want to tee it up this way, Chris. I'm gonna go to you first. You know, it makes me think of the whole, you know, we used to be, at least a while back, it was sort of a best of breed mentality. Let's give everybody what they want, the best tool they need for clinical outcomes, and we'll figure it out on the back end. Well, that changed, right? And then it was best of suite. Let's try and stay in suite, maybe 90%, and one off where we have to. And it sounds like a little bit with what we're talking about today, Jeff. You talk about moving essentially from complexity, streamlining, supportability, simplicity, sustainability. That's what people are doing with application rationalization. It's good for security. It helps. You need less people to support it. Chris, is that? In general, the messaging here in the imaging space is we need to move away from complexity, or is it something more complicated than that? You tell me.
Yeah, I think it is still complicated, but that is one of the drivers. Is I'll say simplify the environment as much as you can, but not to the point where you can't really deliver care across all the ologies or mammographies or, you know, everything that, that, you know, is used to deliver patient care. Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, there are numerous, in probably most organizations you go into, you're going to have multiple solutions that provide duplicate functionality. So that impacts the delivery of care. It impacts the variation around the workflows, cost and support. So I think part of the driver is yeah, to simplify that model, the footprint as much as possible. You know, Chuck mentioned with the technology environment that fits in your enterprise architecture model, some might be on-prem or in the cloud, but to be able to put a solution in place that meets the needs of the providers, of the clinicians, of the business, and enhances that patient experience. It's not an easy thing to do. I think the complexity in that is getting everyone on board to say, what's your requirements for your portion of the care you deliver, right? So what do you need for cardiology? What do you need for anatomic pathology? What do you need for ortho, mammography? Because there are preferences, as what was mentioned. That's the piece that makes it incredibly complex. And I think Chuck or Jeff mentioned it, while going to an enterprise platform that's all encompassing of all those things, there are a couple vendors out there are getting there, but there isn't one that has everything you need, right? So getting it to where you're 80% there is the important piece.
Very good. Jeff, your last thought.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that there isn't one vendor that has it all. And I think we've spent a few months trying to find one, and it just it hasn't quite materialized yet, particularly in a way that someone who has it all, it's all in use and it can all be available. You know, imaging is one of those areas that it is a life-saving discipline, and it is in such high demand that you have to get these investments right. They directly impact your patients, your providers, your bottom line. So it's just it's an area that there's a lot of focus on right now, and it's a really important area to get right for your organization.
Yep. Very good. Chuck, we'll give you the final thought.
Well, I mean, the only thing I can say is if you're going to kind of run down this path, make sure you're talking to a variety of folks, not just the radiologist and not just the one or two specialty physicians. You know, building those relationships inside the organization is extremely important. You really never know how important it is until you see the impact of basically getting out of your office and creating those relationships and conversations with the people that, you know, what I call our customers, because it's extremely important, because then you become more of a person rather than a station or a position, because, you know, you can exchange ideas and then you can actually understand. You know, one of my experiences is when I was trying to implement EMRs in physician practices, it didn't really want them. It wasn't until I started rounding with them and spending time in their practices to understand what their requirements were that I came to an understanding of what they were trying to accomplish and the impacts and stuff on their workflows. And the same thing with imaging. You know, radiology is, you know, from the very beginning is a very technical practice, if you will. That's, you know, where PACS came from, and computerization started in a lot of the equipment before it was rolled out in, you know, in the enterprise. And so it is not a cheap solution, and it's also a revenue generation department. And so you have to balance all that around, you know, as Jeff said, about making the investments appropriately and making sure that you're not getting in the way of patient care at the same time.
Perfect note to end on. Regarding continuing education, you could use the final slide in this deck. You'll get an email when the on-demand recording is ready for viewing. If you want to work with us, you can reach out to Nancy Wilcox from our team, and you can register for upcoming webinars on our site. With that, I want to thank our tremendous panel, Chuck Christian, Jeff Fallon, Chris Jenkins, HealthLink Advisors for sponsoring and you for attending. And with that, everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much. Thank you. Have a good one.